Greetings in Jesus' name, and also welcome to all of our visitors. It's good to see you all here today. On this Lord's Day, although it's a bit wet and rainy, but it's the Lord's Day, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I was blessed with a devotional this morning also. Keeping our priorities straight and working for the Lord and doing what we need to do. Keeping him first, keeping that relationship alive. I appreciate what he brought out about if we, sometimes we sort of forget God in a sense. We get involved in our earthly things and then something happens and then wakes us up and then we call on God when we get in trouble. But we sort of been lax in our relationship with him up until that point. Do we think God will hear us? I think he will, but I think he will hear us a lot better if we have a continual relationship with him and not just call on him when we're in trouble. So I appreciated that also. Today is Mother's Day, and so I thought I might use that as a message for mothers. And I like to give honor where honor is due, and that is to all of the godly mothers and grandmothers that are here today. The Bible says in Proverbs, of course, we'll go to Proverbs chapter 31 there. But before that, Proverbs 6 says in verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." Some good instructions there. Anna M. Jarvis first suggested that the national observance of an annual day honoring mothers, all mothers, because she loved her own mother so dearly. And at a memorial service for her mother on May 10th of 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, which was her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of a day to honor mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of the large U.S. cities. Then on May 9th of 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country, recognizing the need of recognition for all that mothers do. The Bible says that the law of a mother shall lead you and shall be a light unto you, and you will remember the things that your mother taught you throughout your life. Maybe some of you young ones may not think so at this point in your life, but as time goes on, when you get older, you will definitely appreciate those things that your mom taught you. And that's a love that only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to read a bit of an allegory here. Entitled, "When God Created Mothers." When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into the sixth day of overtime. When an angel appeared and said, "You're taking a lot of time on this one." And God said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, and have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair, and six pairs of hands. The angel shook his head slowly and said, six pairs of hands? No way. Then God said, it's not the hands that are causing me a problem. It's the three pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. That's on the standard model? The angel asked. God nodded. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you children doing in there? When she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in the front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, I understand and I love you, without so much as uttering a word. God, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, get some rest tomorrow. I can't, said God. I am so close to creating something, so close to myself. Already I have one that heals herself when she is sick, can feed the family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. It's soft, he sighed. But tough, said God excitedly. You can imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek. There's a leak, she pronounced. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? It's for joy and sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. There is something very special about mothers. Those tears sometimes are necessary, and they are for various reasons. Today is Mother's Day, the day when the families pay special tribute to their moms in various ways. We like to take them to dinner or buy them special gifts. That's what we do on Mother's Day. But the sad thing is that oftentimes Mother's Day is really just a time when families try to atone for the entire year of neglect and disrespect and for the lack of appreciation. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, most people would agree, and whether they are Christians or not, that we are living in a post-Christian era. That doesn't mean that the church is dead or that Christianity is dead. What it means is that the influence of the biblical Christianity once had on our nation and our culture has diminished to the point where it wouldn't be recognized by Christians that lived 100 or 200 years ago. It's completely changed. And that includes morality, education, social action, and maybe even more importantly, parenting. How we raise our children, the parenting that we do. Basically, what's happened is that the secular humanistic reasoning has taken the place of biblical truth when it comes to setting the parameters for home and family. We are influenced by a lot of things around us. And by contrast, a Christian should be the one who sees the home and marriage and parenting as framed within the parameters of God's infallible and authoritative word, the Bible. And the truth of God's word should not only shape our beliefs and practices in all areas of life, but they are absolutes that guide us through life as we continue on through life. And so our opinion and beliefs are only legitimately Christian to the degree that they line up with God's word. The problem is that today our minds have been darkened by secularism and sin. And a lot of folks can't tell if something is biblical or secular anymore. All of our relationships should be directed by the truth of the Scripture, whether in education or finances or political involvement or jobs or marriages or parenting. Should all be based on the Word of God, on the Scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll read there verse 10 through the end. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat unto her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins and with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well into the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Now, before we get into this, there are 2 points of possibly random knowledge that I'd like to share here. And verses 10 through 31 are in alphabetic acrostic in Hebrew. In other words, the literal Hebrew language, each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. It's interesting how that comes out. And secondly, the word or phrase that is translated as virtuous in the King James Version or of noble character in the New International Version is the Hebrew word hayel. Hayel, which literally translated means strength and valor, and in all ways excellent. Throughout the Bible, this word has been translated as able or capable 8 times, and is translated as strength 10 times, and as valiant over 40 times. And it basically refers to the moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. So now going back here to verses 11, 12, and 23, we'll see that she is trustworthy and devoted. She has her husband's confidence, and she enhances his reputation. It's very little about herself in this chapter. She is a woman of diligence and of wisdom, and we see that in verses 13 through 19. She's not afraid to work. She's a wise shopper, and she plans ahead. and she is a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hand to the poor. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to be able to not only take care of her family's needs, but also the needs of the poor in her society. And she is dependable. We see that in verses of 15, 21, and 27. When adversity comes, whether it's bad weather or something else, you know she's already got a plan to deal with whatever it might be. And lastly, she is a woman who loves the Lord. We see that by reading in all of the reading there in our in the text here. She is someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom. Now, reading this chapter, you sisters might be a little overwhelmed in one sense. You might even say that this isn't describing a woman, this is describing a superwoman that's able to do all of this. And that's actually not far off. That's a good assessment. It's describing a woman who is living in a supernatural way with a supernatural God. The strength comes from God to be able to accomplish all of these things that are put on a mother. And it has to be that way because there are few things that are more important to society than godly mothers. The Bible is clear in its teaching that the family is the foundation of society, while the fathers are responsible for the way the family goes. The mothers are the glue that holds the family together. And so, since moms are so important to the family and society, I want to look at some of the problems that mothers face so the rest of us can really show our appreciation on this Mother's Day today and every year, every day of the year. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. And read some verses there. Ephesians 5, verses 23 through 29. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So this passage here clearly tells us that the husbands are the head of the house. But it also says that we are to love our wives, just like Jesus loves the church. In other words, we are to love our lives sacrificially. If we fail our wives like this, what we are doing is actually disobeying a commandment given to us in God's word. We're distorting the picture of marriage that provide the picture of what marriage provides of Christ and the church to the world if we don't have love for our wives in that way. And I'm sure you've heard the saying that as the home, so goes the church. And as a church, so the nation. Christian marriage is a picture of Christ and his church to the unbelieving world. And secondly, if we fail to love our wives like this, we sin against our wives and our children, because the children pick up the attitudes and actions that we have, because we become like the people we associate with. And there's one thing that I really hate to see, and that is when children disrespect their mother. And a lot of times, the reason for that is that they have learned that from their father. And that is very sad, and it shouldn't be that way. As we see here in Proverbs 31, the demands on mothers is great. They include grocery shopping and preparing meals, and sometimes for picky eaters. Washing and ironing, house cleaning, caring for the many needs of the family, and on and on and on. We could just make lists to keep on going. So I would like to talk about how moms can handle all of this without losing their minds. I'm sure you finally got to that point sometimes, just about had enough. We already touched on one important part, and that is the necessity of a loving husband and loving children. Loving and obedient children. So, brethren, and I include myself in this, I'm talking to myself on this one. To love your wife sacrificially means that you need to help out. And I'm sure you guys would probably do a lot better job of it than I do. It's not beneath us to occasionally do the dishes. You notice I said occasionally. That shows that even pastors sometimes have the pull of the world on us, where we try to skirt the issue or try to twist things around so that we can work things out. We don't have to. It's not beneath us to do the laundry. It's not beneath us to do the dishes, either occasionally or, if need be, often, because that's one way that we can help our wives to be this virtuous woman by helping out around the house. I mean, we go out and we do our jobs. We got this going, that going, and stuff, and we're tired. We come home, then we want to relax. We had a hard day. But, you know, our wife probably had a hard day, too. Especially with small children, raising a family, it's hard work. And I'm sure all of you know that, but it's good to be reminded of that at times. And secondly, this one is for the wives and the moms. And that is that you need to have your priorities straight. I think Brother Henry touched on this last Sunday. In Luke chapter 10, we read the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus. Jesus had come to their house, and Mary found the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to be near him and to learn from him, while Martha was about doing work and just busy doing things. She even complained to the Lord about Mary's unwillingness to help her with the work. Things that needed to be done, or at least she felt that way. And what we learn from this is that moms need to make Mary's priorities your priorities. It doesn't mean that you ignore other duties of motherhood. It means that you prioritize and have your priorities straight. And of course, on the flip side of that, mothers who end up making Martha's priorities their own end up like Martha. They find themselves full of resentment, self-pity, and tension. And that's not a good way to live. We know that Jesus himself took time to pray and to be alone with his heavenly Father. So moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take time to sit at the feet of the Lord and to listen to His word, and to take your burdens and cares to Him. The Bible makes it pretty clear that no wife or husband or mom or dad can be the kind of spouse or parent that God has called them to be without the Lord's help. It's not possible. In fact, Jesus even said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." So now let's look at the last two verses here in Proverbs 31. It says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise him in the gates." The woman who finds value in her looks will devalue her worth to the point of self-loathing. It'll finally get to that point, because age and gravity will eventually set in on all of us. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is where we get the direction of God, is in the fear of the Lord. We receive wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to toot her own horn. She doesn't have to brag or boast about her accomplishments. Her own works will praise her. People will see it and know it. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will praise her. That is what God wanted the home to be, the mothers to be honoring him and not herself. And that goes for all of us, to not honor ourselves, but all that we do to honor God. So let me encourage all of you moms this morning. God doesn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to walk in His perfection. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So take the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. In other words, take time to get into the Word. Read and study the Bible. Learn the Bible. Memorize the Bible. You do that, and before long, you'll find that you are living the Bible. Compare what God's Word says with what the world says, and if they differ, reject the world's view. And lastly, lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's all about Jesus Christ, how we live our lives, whether we're moms, whether we're dads, whether we're children, youth, or otherwise. We need to do all to honor God with our lives and live for Him. So today I want to honor each one of you mothers for all that you have to put up with. Especially my wife. Sometimes I haven't been as supportive as I should have been. But we do appreciate all that you do. Just talking about the laundry, I was just thinking about that the other day. It almost magically appears here and there, you know. We get it dirty, and the next thing we know, it's back in the drawers again or whatever. So thank you. For each one of you, for what you have contributed to your families, to your husbands, to the church, and to the world. Let us kneel to pray.